Welcome to the Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. On this episode, we have a hefty news roundup before we discuss this trend of characters randomly breaking into song. Spoiler-free reviews of Veronica Mars' new Hulu series revival, Crawl, and Netflix's Point Blank, and our topic this week is drive-in movie theaters. Is there still a place for them? Let's get on with the show. My name is Aaron Peterson. Joining me today are my fellow hosts, Amanda Sink.
Hello, hello.
And John cannot be here this week, so we kicked his ass to the curb. So from the Gaming Outsider podcast, Mr. Scott Clark.
I feel like I need a catchy phrase to say at the beginning every time you introduce me, because now that Amanda's got one, I need one too.
Hello, Governor.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I can't pull that off, man.
You know what you should come up with? Like, because we're doing drive-in theaters, you should do the audio representation of the hot dog jumping into the bun. I don't know what that is.
Oh, that's the best commercial.
Have you ever seen those, by the way? Where the hot dog jumps into the bun and
it looks very seductive. Let's all go to the movies.
Yeah. That's what the song is.
And then they just keep movies. He keeps jumping in a circle and the bun's like, I'm waiting. And then he's like, jumps right in. Whatever that is, make that an audio thing.
He
and
just sang for us.
That's true. We got that.
That's the best I can do, man, on short notice.
That's it. And sorry, John won't be here. I already said that. So, you know, that's twice he's mentioned. That's the max.
That's enough.
We're tapped out. Yep. All right, Scott. Now, you haven't been here in a while. Scott, of course, is one of the former hosts of The Hollywood Outsider. So he's done this thing before. But I don't know if you haven't done it since we changed how we did news, right?
No, just listen to it. And yeah, you get quite a paragraph.
What do you like that? Since you're speaking as an outsider, do you like that better than just like one or two items?
I do, because sometimes I know from hosting in the past, there were some stories I just don't really have a whole lot to say about. So this lets me pick and choose which ones I'm interested in, because you got a plethora of news topics to talk about in the movie world. I really wish we did that on my end, but it didn't happen.
A plethora. Yeah. A plethora.
Are you just happy that he's using vocabulary you're not used
seriously,
to?
Seriously, and he didn't stutter it. All right, so that's a jab.
We love you, John. Well, I do, at least.
All right, so here is your news roundup for this week. You guys ready?
Yeah.
How to Get Away with Murder is ending with season 6, while Euphoria was just renewed on HBO for season 2. The Flintstones are returning in a new animated series for Warner Brothers, presumably the streaming service with Elizabeth Banks producing. Sherlock Holmes 3 has lost Guy Ritchie.
What?
But picked up Rocket Man director Dexter Fletcher in the process. All right, this is a bit. Hasbro is rebooting the Power Rangers with a brand new cast. China continues to censor their movies so heavily, it's affecting both artists and box office. But they won't say anything, because then they'll end up in China jail. Mortal Kombat's reboot will be R-rated and actually feature fatalities. Get over here! Space Invaders is being adapted as a new film. The Walking Dead is working on bringing Lauren Conrad back, because she's available.
What?
Yeah, Whiskey Cavalier got canceled, so she's free. The Haunting of Hill House follow-up, Bly Manor, has already cast two of the previous entry stars, so it looks very American Horror Story-esque. Scarlett Johansson made waves this week by saying, and I quote, "You know, as an actor, I should be allowed to play any person, or any tree, or any animal, because that is my job and the requirements of my job. I think society would be more connected if we just allowed others to have their own feelings and not expect everyone to feel the way we do." And of course, the internet revolted. A recent report showcased that Americans watch more TV than any other country on the planet, and nobody was surprised. Bond 25 will reportedly introduce Lashona Lynch as a new 007. Hannah Baker's suicide depiction on Netflix has been completely edited away due to mental health concerns. Jack Reacher! I'm sorry, I got excited. Jack Reacher is getting a new TV series on Amazon. Emmy nominations are out, and Game of Thrones racked up a record 32 nominations, the most for any show in a single season ever. Suck it, haters. Thor 4 is a go with director Taika Waititi returning to direct. And finally, the U.S. Air Force have basically told the million plus people claiming they'll storm Area 51 on September 20th that if they do, it will be their Independence Day. Whew. Amanda, of all that, What got your goat? Is that a saying anymore?
No, but there's a lot of things that got me excited in here.
Well, pick one.
So I think I'm going to go with the Hannah Baker suicide on Netflix being edited away.
Hold, please, while we stand in shock.
I actually went back to rewatch this, like, see how they edited it out, because I wanted to see how I felt with the moment and go from my own eyes, not just what they tell me is happening. Mm-hmm. And I did rewatch it, and it is edited, but it's not that noticeable, I don't think.
What?
It's really not. The whole scene.
They cut the whole scene out.
No, the whole scene still exists.
The whole scene where she actually cuts herself and bleeds out is not there.
Yeah, that's one shot. Like that is,
that's the whole scene.
No,
that's pretty important.
Her mother still finds her. You still see her mom screaming, crying for 911. You still see her family holding her like in the bathtub. There's a lot of power in that scene that you still get without having the actual method revealed. And the reason this came up is because from the very beginning, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention was working with them. And
full disclosure, you're affiliated with them. Full disclosure.
But I don't get paid from them. So. Well,
I didn't say you work for them. I said you're affiliated with them. You're one of their fundraiser. What is your title?
A walk chair.
Walk chair. There you go. Mm-hmm. It's very important.
And local.
Why don't you explain briefly what the science is for why Netflix decided to do that?
Well, Netflix, from my understanding, is citing another study that was done not by AFSP. And it was basically saying that they saw a spike in suicide attempts after the release of the season, and they don't have enough evidence or causation to prove that this is actually tied directly to people watching the show, but they did see the spike in when that viewership also increased. But the science that the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention has been referencing and has been pushing towards them is to say that there is, and it has been proven for a very long time, a real evidence-based thing called contagion. And also when adolescents and teens in particular see those methods, and it is in particular actually witnessing or hearing about the methods used, that will increase the likelihood of somebody who is already in crisis or might be in crisis to make their own attempt. So not to say that we shouldn't talk about suicide or we shouldn't have any of that depicted, but the actual method should not be visually shown. And that's the part they cut out. And I really don't feel like the scene was impacted that much by it being removed. I understand that for a lot of people, it impacted them more seeing it, and they were emotionally capable of watching it. But there are a lot of people, I even had a coworker today who watched the edit, and he literally could not watch even the edited version. Like, it was too much for him to handle. So there are a lot of people who are on different emotional levels, and we can't really control who's actually, as a parent, talking to their children and who's not. And the school districts in a lot of areas don't really allow for this to be a conversation piece either. So these children are then watching the show, and they have nobody to, have a resource with. So there was a lot of potential for increase, and I'm okay.
Wasn't there a message at the end of each episode saying, if you have troubles, call this number or website? I seem to remember there being something on there.
They did. And they had disclosures like a trigger warning at the beginning of episodes. So they did their due diligence in terms of letting you know what content was in there. But that doesn't really stop a child from doing it, like watching it. And when they do see the science, I don't know all the details of what it is that when they see the method or they hear about a method, that it increased their likelihood, but it's something to do with the easy ability to duplicate that method.
And I understand the science of it. My concern is the censorship of it, because yes, the science is real and factual and actual, except that they can't tie it in to, because obviously they're not going to go back to everyone who committed suicide and said, did your person watch 13 Reasons Why? They can't do that to directly tie it in. They just look at the timing of events, right? So they tied it into contagion that way. But when it comes to censorship, and it is censorship. Anytime you edit something that's already existing, that's censorship. Unfortunately, it's always people get a knee-jerk reaction to the word and they're like, it's not that, you're not trying to shut the man down. That's not what I mean by censorship, but it is altering existing art. That's a concern for me because, at what point does it stop being okay? At which point is it okay? So a lot of movies that I watch are horrific and they depict violence in many different ways. So if that's too, if that's too emotionally resonant for certain people, does that mean that that needs to go? If certain meth dealing, if someone has a meth, you know, Breaking Bad, does that mean we have to take out the actual showing the ramifications of drug addiction because it shows it too intensely to someone who has gone through it? You know, at what point? I do understand and I do sympathize and empathize, and it's hard to say this without like sounding like you don't, but I really believe in art and I do believe in personal responsibility as well. We can't predict or control how everyone in the world is going to feel about something, but we can predict and control the art. And I don't know if voices should be, now Netflix is their property. It's their decision to make, but I get concerned about this becoming a fad or a trend in that respect.
You know what would be nice? If we had some kind of system in place that would rate movies and television shows to make them age appropriate, wouldn't that be nice?
But that doesn't stop people from being able to watch it.
Like, I understand that. I absolutely understand that. But that does not fall on the responsibility of Netflix.
No, but Netflix took it upon themselves to ask AFSP from the moment that they started their filming. They were working with this organization to try to make sure that they were being responsible with what they were doing. Then they didn't listen.
But like Aaron said, at the end of the day, it's still their decision. It's their show. Granted, they're taking the steps now. It just seems if this is something that needed to be done, it needed to be done before it was released. What was that, 3 years ago now?
Yeah, it's been a couple of years.
And I don't have any skin in this game. I don't really care too much one way or the other, but where I get bristly with this story is not a week ago, a lot of these same people that are saying that this censorship is good are the same ones that are saying, and again, I'm not comparing the two, okay, but I'm using these two comparisons from censorship's sake, okay? So we're okay censoring this, are not okay censoring this, but we're okay censoring the smoking and Stranger Things. Like you said, Aaron, where do we draw the line? Where does it? And again, this is Stranger Things making the decision. This isn't anybody coming down on them saying you need to do this, but it blows my mind when you have people that are for it in one thing and against it in another. And in the name of censorship, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, I'm behind you in terms of the hypocrisy between the two, because there are people, it's a matter of what is important to them. If they have some sort of connection or tie to it, they may be more inclined to support the editing or censorship or whatever of the content if it's something that has affected them in the past. But to me, and this is my own personal opinion only, I'm perfectly okay with sacrificing a small portion of the arts because they're not getting rid of the show. They didn't cancel the show. They didn't even remove the suicide from happening. It was just the actual visual of her in her method.
Well, yeah, because it was brutal to watch. And I'm actually in agreement with you on that. I was bothered when that series came out for that very reason. And I remember what it was like to be 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, all the way through 14, however many years old. And if I had seen that when I was that age, I never went through like serious bouts of depression or even considered suicide, but I would have learned some things from watching this show. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but when I was a kid and I heard people heard the phrase slit your wrists, I was always under the impression that people did it horizontally. You know what I mean? Like across the bottom of your wrist. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of times they show that in TV and movies because it's the opposite way to do
right.
That.
Yeah. Right. And in this one, she didn't. She went right down the vein. And if I had seen other TV shows and seen it depicted that way and then saw that and went, oh, that's how you do it, it would have put ideas or I'm not going to say tips, but for someone that was a little bit more on the fence than I was or way more on the fence than I was, it could have potentially given them ideas. So I'm okay with it, but I'm not screaming censorship either. I really don't know where I stand. This is something more up Amanda's alley because this is part of her day-to-day life in terms of the organization right. That she's affiliated with. It just bothers me. Like you said, when something is important to somebody, it's okay to censor it. But when mm-hmm. it's not important to them, it's not okay to censor it. And that's what bothers me.
And I get that.
I also think it's kind of important to note, too, that, and this is obviously me coming from, it's been some years since I read the book, but I absolutely love the book. I'm pretty sure that's not even the method she used. She used pills in the book. So they didn't even need to go this grotesque. And I understand that they wanted it to really hit people. And for a lot of people, it changed
things. I legitimately had conversations with people that have never even considered talking about their own issues with suicide. Had conversations because of that show and specifically that scene. That scene is what drove them to have those talks.
And I'm happy that happened.
Good things that came from that as well.
Right. I don't ever think that even if it is only one single life that we're preventing by making this change, to me, it is 100% worth not showing that method.
Just think it's something to keep an eye on. So mm-hmm.
If they were to delete the show.
So we don't end up like China. All right. I don't want to be China. All right,
or do you want to be China? Because China's winning. I remember what you say.
But yeah, they are winning. China's always winning. But I don't want to be on that side. No, I'm good over here. Scott, your turn. Bring us back up, brother. What got you excited? I bet you it's game related.
Yeah, I was going to say, how can I see this list of things and not talk about the video game news here, which is Mortal Kombat's reboot, which if you remember, we had some Mortal Kombat films back in the 90s that were all very PG-13.
Mortal Kombat!
Yeah, that's roughly how it went, right?
That was very, very spot on. It was good.
You're welcome.
They were violent, but they were not violent as the video games were. Even the video games in the 90s were gruesome. Granted, they were pixelated, but nowadays when we got the technology raising the bar a little bit, things are a little bit more gruesome.
Dude, they were pulling people's heads right out of their whole spine out. That was the finishing move. I wanted to see that in a movie so bad.
And they're even crazier in the more current iterations of the game. If you guys aren't familiar with this series, it's basically a tournament, an otherworldly tournament where people fight to the death. And these fatalities that we're talking about are finishing moves that they do to basically off certain characters in some of the most gruesome ways possible. I'm talking disgusting eyeballs squirting and spines ripping. And it's sometimes hard to watch, even though what you're looking doesn't look super hyper realistic. But the fact that this is coming to film and is going to be R-rated for the first time is very exciting for me as a fan of the video games, and as well for the rest of the gaming community. That's really cool.
Is it just one game? Because I remember when I played, there was two girls that
there's
I always
like
played
46
as.
46 of them.
And I've always played as, it was like Katana or something like that, and then Melina. And it was like the purple and the red females.
Jade. Katana, Jade, and Melina were three of the characters,
Is that all in one game then, or are they in multiple game iterations?
I can't keep them all straight together. Okay. There's literally 11 games in the series.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's a lot more than I thought. Well, whatever game I played, I had a lot of fun playing that game. Probably shouldn't have played it at such a young age, but I did, and I'm still here, and I haven't murdered anybody, so that's got to be a good sign, and I'm excited for this movie.
When I always loved about those games, they would have like Mortal Kombat 1, 2, 3, 4, and you would see the same characters pop up in the next games, you know, and new characters and everything else, but it's just like, you had your spine ripped out in the last one. The continuity errors bother me.
Why is that what you're thinking
everyone
about?
Everyone is dead. I don't understand. How did they put them back together? They slide the spine. Like, is it a Lego? Is it a Lego guy? I don't know how that works.
They called Humpty Dumpty's people and just put them back together.
Everybody get on the wall. Get on the huge wall. Let's put you back together again.
It's huge.
Sorry. All right. So my big excitement.
I already know what it's going to be.
Well, it's Jack Reacher. I got excited. Jack Reacher is coming. I love the movie, especially the first movie. I like the second movie. Love the first movie. I love the books. I haven't read all of them. There's like 20-something of them, and I've read about 10, but I love the books. Love them, love them, love them. And if you don't know what Jack Reacher is, and if you haven't seen the movie, it's basically this former military guy, military investigator, who has decided to live his life on the lam. So all he does is hop on a bus. He takes only the clothes that are on his back. He goes from town to town, and every town he goes into, he ends up in some kind of trouble. He gets mixed in with, you know, drug dealers and corrupt military people and just bad organizations. And he brings them down, and basically he just steamrolls over them from town to town to town. It's great. Now, Tom Cruise did very well, I thought, especially considering in the book, he's like 6'3".
And Tom Cruise is a midget.
Tom Cruise is like 3'6". So it's like inverted. And I don't, you know, that was hard to swallow for a while, but you get over it.
Amanda, I believe they prefer to be known as Little People.
Little People. Oh, I'm so sorry. I just offended so many little people.
Not Tom Cruise, though. We don't. He's fine.
No, we don't care.
No, he understands. He gets it. But so now we're getting a TV series on Amazon. They're going to be more faithful to the books. And I am just, I am jacked. I am jacked. So proud of that. Yeah, it's okay. So I'm excited.
Can I ask one other question real quick about another story you got on this list?
Sure.
Because I have a genuine question. I know that the internet kind of blew up this week with the 25th Bond movie introducing Lashona Lynch.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of people read the headline and didn't and saw the picture and didn't read the article.
Exactly.
Am I correct in understanding that in the James Bond world, because I know you're a big fan, you've read the books, you know how it goes.
I have, yep.
007 is a designation, correct?
Correct.
And like I think of it like the movie that I correlated to, and this may sound silly, is Kingsman. How in the movie Kingsman, they had characters like Galahad. And then when Galahad perished or moved on, they were replaced by another Galahad. Is that the same kind of thing? It's like somebody fills the slot in for that number, basically?
Yeah, I mean, in the books, it's always James Bond, who's 007, and then there's other people assigned to the different numbers or designated that way. But to the way I understand it, in the next movie, it appears that maybe Daniel Craig's James Bond is retired, so someone else has taken on that number. So it's not like she is James Bond, she is 007. And those are two different things. I know to most people, it's probably not. But in the books, it is a different thing.
And that's a huge distinction, and I'm glad you brought that up, Scott, because I've seen people all over the internet, of course, enraged that a woman is gonna be James Bond, and I'm like, but she's like not. So I don't know. Maybe read past the headline.
I'll be honest, I would be if she was being James Bond.
If she was, yeah,
I'm a big, you know, it's character continuity. That doesn't 007. I have no problem with.
Right. It's yeah.
Well, because I talked to somebody else that also read the books and is a big fan, and they're a little bit more upset about this than they're not angry, but
right.
their argument was that the books were called James Bond 007.
It's true.
So it's like they're very much tied together.
I mean, they were called Dr. No. They were called, you know, and it was basically just said 007 at the top. So yeah, I get. I mean, yes, it's always been connected to the two. I don't remember any of the books where he was actually separate. But they do clearly identify that the 00 is a designation for License to Kill. That's
right.
All it is. It's your code number. That's
right.
It.
And at the time the books were being written, this character through all of that period of time, if I'm not mistaken, and correct me if I'm wrong, but wouldn't he have still been able to be alive during that period when the books were going on? So at this point, they're like, we've gone through and we've had James Bond for decades upon decades upon
They've
decades.
They've done all the books, I think.
Right. Yeah. So at this point, it's like, well, we don't want to lose 007, but we want to reinvent that character for more generations to come.
I don't think that's what they're doing. The way I understand it is just for that particular movie. The next movie will be a James Bond.
Really?
It'll be a new James
Bizarre.
Bond.
Bizarre. That's weird to me. See, if they were just like start a new
one. We don't know what they're
going to
do. How is it bizarre? Like, that's what the internet doesn't get. You haven't seen it. How do you know it's weird or bizarre? You don't know how it's going to play out.
No, I'm saying it would be bizarre if, like, I mean, I guess if she took over temporarily. But to me, I thought it was kind of cool. The way I was thinking it was going was that he was going to retire. James Bond himself was retiring. So his number was going off to a new person. And then that person was going to be essentially taking over the franchise as the new 007.
The way I understand it, they're still going to go through with James Bond. So the next movie will be James Bond.
Well, I had heard that what was going to happen or speculation was that the new 007 was going to be killed off by the end of the movie. And then James Bond was going to come back out of retirement and take back over the 007 spot. Again, that could be pure speculation.
We don't know. People lose their mind because they hear some reports. But I'm excited to see. Anytime it's something different I haven't seen in the Bond world, I'm all about it. I love James Bond. Love him. And by the way,
wait, does that mean she's going to shag women too?
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
Sorry, that's Austin Powers.
Here's the only thing as I leave you and we move on to our next topic. If you're one of these people that plans on going to Area 51, please remember the Air Force is very clear. You're not going to make it. It's not going to bode well for you. You're not going to get through the gates. I've seen this Leroy Jenkins plan, and I just don't think it's going to pan out for you.
You mean with the Saiyan runners and the Kyles that are rock throwers and everything? Oh my God, it's so funny. You know that this day is going to happen. There's going to be like 400 people that show up.
It is. Well, if that, there's going to be like 30 people. And if you don't know what we're talking about on Facebook, there's a big group saying that they're going to storm Area 51 to get all the answers about aliens and blah, 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 blah. I think they tried this before and like 12 people showed up. So I don't expect much.
There was 200 people that showed up last
year. Was there? Oh, that's a lot of people that are going to get annihilated.
But they've supposedly got some celebrity behind them as well, because you know the aliens guy from the History Channel?
Yeah.
Because
it's aliens.
Aliens.
Yeah.
Like, apparently that guy's going to be there.
Nuh-uh.
I heard.
Awesome.
I heard a rumor that Keanu was going to go. But
they keep doing like all these things, and they say like Mulder and Scully say that, you know, Gillian Anderson and David Duchovny are going to show. It's just celebrities like, yeah, this is fun. I don't think any of them are actually going
to. Somebody added me to a Facebook group, and no joke, when I got added, there was 44,000 people in this group for this.
For this?
No, yes.
No, I think you misread, because when someone added me to it, it was over 400,000.
Well, it could be different groups too. Unless
great.
It's all one group.
It's
going to
be a whole
crazy.
Lot of nerds going up in flames. It's a whole lot of nerds disappearing at once.
We're kind of joking about it, but that could be a potentially serious thing, guys. That could be, I mean, if they band together and make this happen, that might be something they don't want to air on TV. Seriously.
I don't see them getting very far. You know what? Here's the thing. Everybody's awful cocky with the, until everybody starts coming out there with machine
looking at
guns.
Plane tickets.
Yeah. And you're looking at, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about all the guns that are going to be pointed their way. Come on. Go ahead. Run at us. Go ahead.
There's going to be Thanos levels of destruction of our human race if this happens.
The military's going to be out there snapping people left and right.
You know, the Darwin Awards are a real thing, man. I just think, you know, survival of the fittest.
Hey, if we get those answers, you know what I mean? All right.
The truth is out there.
Let's discuss characters bursting into song. And this is just one of those things where we were talking about in our Facebook group, and it kind of just, people got really excited about it. So we thought, why not talk about it a little bit? Not in musicals. This is a very important distinction. Not in musicals where it's actually part of the movie. I'm talking a regular movie where a character just starts singing. Think Ferris Bueller's Day Off, you know, where he starts singing Twist and Shout. Think those moments. Do you enjoy these moments? Do you sing along? Scotty, you're a big music guy. What's the deal?
Absolutely, man. Those are like some of my favorite parts, especially when it's completely unexpected and you're just not ready for it. I mean, some of the older movies that we're going to list off here, we've seen them so many times, it's hard to remember that first time you saw that to be surprised when it happens. But man, when that does take place and you're just kind of like, are they breaking out into song right now? It just makes me happy, especially if it's a well-known song. You know, not shows like Glee or... you know, or musical type things. Those are fun in their own right, but I love it. I just absolutely love it.
Every time, though? Do you love it every time? Because I'd be honest, like, sometimes it happens, I'm like, oh, God, what just happened? Oh, no.
Well, because I actually commented on this post that you had put on Facebook, because I just had so many that came to mind this movie, because you know me and music.
Yeah,
and
you love music.
Movies. And I have a hard time thinking of one where I was like, man, that was annoying. I can't think of one. So there might have been cases that it was there, but I none of them come to mind right off the top of my head.
Do you remember the first time like it happened and you were just caught off guard or brought into it or anything like that?
Let's see. I could give you a very specific example that's a weird one.
Yeah,
but,
no, I love a specific example.
The movie Magnolia is a weird favorite movie of mine.
What?
Yeah. I can't tell you why I love that movie so much. It's like 3 hours long. It jumps back and forth between all this ensemble cast, which is very well acted movie. Mm-hmm. But there's a scene where towards the end, they cycle through all of the characters in the movie and they're all individually singing lines from the song Wise Up by Amy Mann. And it's gives me goosebumps just thinking about it, because every character is kind of in self-contemplation, but they all just happen to be singing the same song at the same time, and it's powerful. It really is. I know I might get a lot of flack for like in an artsy movie like that, but
I don't think it
hits me. So that's the one where I feel like I was affected the most, not necessarily for happy fun reasons like the other ones on my list, but that one definitely stands out.
Amanda, do you like when this happens?
Oh, I love it. I'll always take a moment where there's music. And I can remember my first, you asked Scott the first moment he remembered that, where it kind of caught him off guard and he still kind of jumped in and sang it. And mine was, there's two instances, but they're from the same franchise. I don't think they're in the same movie, but the first one is in Rush Hour 1 when Chris Tucker starts doing The war, what is it good for? Mm-hmm. Absolutely nothing. Like that whole thing. I can remember him like doing his little dance and war. I sang along with it. Yes. Cool. I loved it so much. And then he does the, he does Don't Stop Till You Get Enough. Mm-hmm. And I think that's in the second movie though.
Yeah, where he does the Michael yep. Jackson.
Yeah. So like.
Aren't they doing karaoke or something? Yeah.
Don't stop till you get enough.
Yeah, those are probably my most memorable that I remember.
Chris Tucker.
Yeah. I have a TV show one, too.
So does Jackie Chan.
Oh.
It's like, we could get that Rush Hour 4 money. Where'd you go? I'm not usually a fan of it. In fact, oftentimes my eyes start to roll as soon as it, unless it really fits the scenario. Ferris Bueller is the prime example. Like, that's the one where I'm like, okay, I want to be Ferris Bueller. But that's like the whole movie. Like, I just want to be Ferris Bueller.
It's because you want a Ferrari.
He has Sloan. He has weird Cameron with a nice car. He, you know, he ends up singing on a float in Chicago and they let him and he doesn't get arrested. That doesn't make any sense. Everyone else who tried it was arrested.
He's also the sausage king of Chicago. I mean,
what?
Come on. It's the best life. He's living the best life. But the one where I can remember this is the first time where I immediately thought it was cheesy. And then I honestly just kind of start smiling and you don't realize you're smiling is in Top Gun, where he's like, you've lost that loving feeling. Yeah. And everybody starts,
I hate it when she does that.
Everybody starts singing. It's like this pickup line. It's like, that was so great. And it's so cheesy, especially in hindsight, but I love it. I just love that scene.
It's great.
Yeah.
I have a list, man. So you, I mean,
sure. I'm just going to take a break. You go ahead and you run through your list and we'll
catch up with you later.
Yeah, we'll catch up with you later.
Well, I don't want to monopolize the conversation, but how can I not mention Michael J. Fox playing Johnny B. Goode in Back to the Future?
Oh, yes.
That's a good one. Yeah.
That is a good one.
Because I found out much later in life that that was actually him playing the guitar and singing.
Wait,
I mean,
what?
Not live.
Not what you heard. You didn't hear him.
No, you heard him. It was pre-recorded and pre-played, but he played the guitar and sang on that, I believe.
No,
I
mean, no. That's the actual song. I know that song. There's no way that was Michael J. Fox.
That is not the actual song, man.
Are you sure?
I am 100% sure that's not the actual song.
Oh, you're the Back to the Future guy, so I'll have to take a word on that.
Marvin Berry? That was not Chuck Berry's voice singing that song.
No, you're wrong, Scott. According to Quora, whatever that is, it says that Michael J. Fox can play guitar, but it wasn't his solo in Back to the Future.
Okay.
Fox had guitarist Paul Hansen teach him the chords, so the scene would appear realistic, but Fox basically finger-synced the chords that we see on screen.
Hey, now.
Okay. I was misinformed, but it was definitely not Chuck Berry.
No, it was not.
It sounded like the actual song to me, but either way, great moment. That's a great moment.
It was his cousin, Marvin Berry.
I see what you did. That was a good one. That's a good one. And that's one that gets everybody kind of roused up.
Well, yeah, got his parents laid.
Roused up, not a roused up, roused up.
Well, Scott was on the same line of thinking as me. Yeah. Don't look at me like that, like I'm criminal.
I heard it too.
What else is on your list, Scott?
Tiny Dancer, Almost Famous.
I don't like that movie.
What is wrong with you?
I'm not a big music guy, so that movie's all about musicians. So to me, I'm like, for the most part.
But you love The Dirt.
Yeah, The Dirt was great with Motley Crue. That was fantastic.
Oh my God.
Dude, I'm sorry. Did anybody lick urine in this one? I don't think so.
What?
Snort ants? Any ants snorting going on? I don't think so.
That's not real.
That happened.
No.
Oh, that totally happened. Yeah. Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh yeah. My God. I'm going to watch that tonight.
That has one hell of an opening scene, by the way. You may not continue watching the movie after that opening scene.
There's no spiders, right?
What?
No, it's not spiders.
He said I wouldn't be able to finish it. So I'm just saying, if there's...
I think it's fun. I don't watch biographies more than once, and I've watched it like three times.
Oh, that's one I plan on watching again. That was a very entertaining movie. they're going for the shock factor in the opening scene, just to give you an idea of what Motley Crue is all about.
Well, now I feel like there's naked people.
Well, yeah, it's Motley
Crue. That's there too, but... It's something else. But anyway, back to Almost Famous. Ignore Aaron for a minute because I can't understand how anybody can not.
Everybody
like
that loves
movie.
That movie. I'm in the minority. I understand.
Oh man, that's a true story too. And actually, Cameron Crowe that story happened to him. Mm-hmm. That's what makes that even cooler. But you know, there in the scene, the lead guitarist, or is it the lead singer? Yeah, it's the lead guitarist. Got all hopped up on LSD. He was tripping balls the night before, and they had to go find him and get him back. And things were just super ugly between the band as they're trying to drive to the next city. And Tiny Dancer comes up on the radio, and everybody starts slowly singing in, and it just kind of melts away all the drama and tension. And it's just like a message about the power of music. And I loved it.
Aww.
I feel like you still have a whole list to go through.
He probably does. But
we're going to be here till tomorrow.
Well, let's bounce off his list, because this has got to be on his list. But we can't not mention Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, that was on my list, too.
From Wayne's World. I honestly had never heard that song until that movie.
True really?
Story. Yep.
Interesting.
Never had heard it.
Wow.
I hadn't. I mean, I only knew at that point in my life, I was probably 13, 15. I don't know what it was, but it was like late 80s, right? When Wayne's World came out, I think, maybe. Maybe 90s. I don't remember what it was.
1992.
Okay, there you go. I was younger. And I remember I had only heard Queen to that point in Revenge of the Nerds. We Are the Champions.
Mm. Wow.
I just didn't do a lot of classic rock at that point. I grew into it as I got older, but yeah, I didn't.
Well, they didn't incorporate all their music into movies yet either.
No, they were in a bunch. I just really? Didn't know. I just didn't know that was Queen. Yeah, oh. Flash Gordon, the whole soundtrack is Queen. I didn't know that That's until true. I was like.
Oh.
Saviors of the universe. But yeah, who hasn't you know, heard that song in a car? And if you're with more than one person, you all start singing it, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the reason why when we get to that bridge in the final operatic section of the song, everybody headbangs, because that's what Wayne and Garth and his drunk buddy in the back seat did during that scene.
Exactly. And what is love? I mean, you hear that and you start bopping your head, you know, like Night of the Roxbury style. What else you got, Scott? Because we got to move on. So what do you got?
All right. High Fidelity had, I love that movie. It's one of my all-time favorites. At the very end, Rob is allowing Jack Black's band to play, and their band is called Sonic Death Monkey. And Rob is just hating this idea of letting Sonic Death Monkey come up on stage, and gives this awful, awful intro for the band. And then Jack Black gets up and says, well, you know, we're going to put Sonic Death Monkey on a hold, and tonight we're Barry Jive and the Uptown Five. And then he just breaks into Let's Get It On by Marvin Gaye. And you know Jack Black can sing, and he's a great performer. Mm-hmm. He nails that song, and it's just one of the coolest moments in the movie. So I love that one.
I thought of another one that's more recent.
What's that?
Okay. Easy A, when she's in the shower and she starts singing, I got a pocket full of sunshine. And she's like washing her hair, and she's like making a music video.
Full of sunshine.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, because she had the greeting card that was playing it, so she was bored, and she kept like opening it and closing it. I got a pocket full.
You're really redoing the whole scene. That's amazing.
Deo, Beetlejuice, Deo.
Oh, yes!
That was my last one.
Deo.
Daylight come and me one go home.
I thought of another one.
Why are you raising your hand? It's a podcast.
Well, I just got excited.
Okay, you're
next. Hocus Pocus.
Amanda.
I put a spell on you.
I don't remember that.
It's when so they're trying to find the witches, and they're trying to tell everybody at the Halloween party the witches
Scott,
are real.
She took that as I wanted to hear the
explanation. I don't care. And so that's when, what's her face? Oh my God, I should know her.
Bette Midler.
Yeah, I was going to say Betty. It's not her name. She goes on stage, and she actually is the one who starts singing the song. And that's when she actually puts a spell on the adults at the Halloween party. And it's her version, and it's amazing. And I love it. And every time I watch the movie, I sing it for days after. I was singing it today because it's the 26th anniversary today.
Aw. You want to hear a cool Bette Midler thing? Little fact?
Sure.
Beaches was on this weekend. I was flipping through the channels, and that song came on. How did you ever know that you're my hero? You know that song? Different chords.
That was awesome, by the way.
Bawling. Every time I hear it, I bawl. Just bawl. That song gets me. I don't know why, but that song gets me.
Mm.
All right. Well, we got to move on. Thanks, everybody. I hope you probably got some songs in your head. I guess I do want to mention Moon River from Fletch when he gets a hand stuck up his ass. That's a great music moment.
Moon River.
Remember, you can always find more information at thehollywoodoutsider.com. We're on Facebook at The Hollywood Outsider, and that's our group as well. Please join in for the fun and tweet us at BuyPopcorn. Now, we're going to play a little game real quick called Change the Title, Guess the Movie. This is where each host changes one of their favorite movie titles to reflect what the movie is actually about, and the other hosts try to guess it. We each get one guess. That's it. But the title must seem like an actual title. Like, for example, Boondock Saints might be called the Catholic Shepherds. Okay.
Is that what boondock means?
No, but it reflects what the plot is about. Because you know, shepherds we shall be, you know, blah, 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 blah.
And they've got the cross.
Anyway, Scott, you go first. So what is your, you change the title and we try to guess the movie. No, you're supposed to change the title and then we try to guess the movie.
Yes, I did change the title. I can read the instructions.
Okay. Well, you're up. We each get a turn at this, so you're up.
He's a teacher. He understands instructions. Right.
Yeah, it'll probably be pretty easy for you guys. Are you ready? The final space wizard.
The final space
wizard? Oh, The Last Jedi?
There you go.
Oh, all right.
Go me.
Okay.
I didn't think I would get one of these.
Because I would have got it wrong. All right.
Did you have a guess in your head?
No.
Oh, okay.
I didn't, which is sad, and probably people are yelling at me. All right, so here's mine. You ready?
Yeah.
Dino-mite.
Black dynamite.
Mine is like Jurassic Park.
That's it.
Is it really?
Dino-mite.
Yay!
As in, they have mite.
Two for two.
Oh, you see, you gotta spell mite.
Yeah, no, you don't. Dino-mite. It's funny, and it works. It's Jurassic Park. Shut up.
I still don't really get it. I just got the dino part.
Dino, like dino.
I guess I get it.
Dino-mite.
All right. Mine isn't clever.
That's okay. If it works, it works.
Three necromancers and bad luck.
Three necromancers in bad luck?
Uh-huh. I'll give you a hint.
The Craft?
No, but you're on the right track.
I only get one guess. So Scott's turn.
All right, I'm waiting for the hint.
You don't get no hints? No, you got a guess.
Three necromancers in bad luck? Is it like a rearranging of the title, or is that just like telling what this movie's about?
No, it's just, it's like a retelling.
Three necromancers. I have no idea. Is it like, Buffy?
No, it's not Buffy.
He's like, you have three reference points. Buffy's one of them.
No, I did reference this early in the episode already.
What is it?
Hocus Pocus. Three witches, and then the cat is bad luck because it's a black cat.
Dear Lord. All right.
I thought it was cool.
Well, I've never seen the movie, so.
Four references.
No, but it was the anniversary, so I was like, this would be cool to do.
That would be cool. Patreon helps fans support their favorite podcast, such as The Hollywood Outsider. As thanks, we also offer bonus content exclusively through Patreon for our supporters. Depending on which tier you select, $1, $3, there's different tiers. At $3, we have a bonus monthly podcast called Bad Movie Night, where we discuss a film that critics or others deem a bad movie, but we enjoy it. We also have John's Half Hour Power Hour. Then at $5, you get Bad Movie Night. Plus, there's an exclusive monthly bonus episode where we discuss things we don't normally talk about on a regular show and often get more personal. There are also tiers where you can pick a topic, maybe even guest. And once you sign up, you get immediate access to all the content in your tier. But you have to sign up first. So if you've not signed up for The Hollywood Outsider on Patreon, go to patreon.com/TheHollywoodOutsider. That's Patreon, patreon.com/TheHollywoodOutsider. And help your favorite podcast. Thank you. Now let's go to spoiler-free reviews. We start with Point Blank from Netflix.
To save his pregnant wife, an emergency room nurse teams up with an injured murder suspect in a race against time, rival criminals, and renegade cops. It has Frank Grillo and Anthony Mackie. Now, Aaron, you saw this.
I sure did.
When I read this plot,
I love the Grillo,
and I see the trailer, it kind of makes me wonder, so I'm curious, is this like a movie we've seen before?
Well, if you haven't seen it, how would you have seen it before? You mean the plot that yes. you've seen before?
Is it, does it feel like, oh, I've seen this movie before?
Actually, the plot is kind of clever, I thought.
Yeah?
Yeah, Anthony Mackie is a nurse, and he gets caught up
in this. Is
that
because he's a man? You're like, men aren't nurses.
No, men are nurses. My mother is a nurse, so I'm
is
cool.
Is your
with
mother
it.
A man?
Yes.
You didn't get the joke.
But wow. I'm saying I've met lots of nurses, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
And lots of them men. What is wrong with you? All right. So it's a weird plot because he's not like an action star. He's not, I mean, obviously Anthony Mackie is built, but he's not an action star. He's not like going through kicking ass and taking names.
Really?
And he gets his ass kicked a lot because he's not an action hero in the movie. Frank Grillo, on the other hand, he's badass, even in this movie. So it's a different kind of plot. And they have to team up, and I don't want to give too much away because it kind of would spoil why they end up teaming up.
Who do you think is more of a standout between Grillo and Mackie? Because they're both really talented, but it sounds like Mackie's stepping outside of his normal role.
He is.
And so who is more of a standout here?
I'll be honest. I've never really loved Anthony Mackie as the Falcon. Mm. I thought he was much better here. Probably because he also gets more screen time. And he's not, you know, he's not just sitting there going, hey, Cap, I'm on your left or whatever. You know, he pretty much carries the movie. Grillo, though, is like one of my favorites. Like, he's the guy I wish was in every movie. He's fun to watch. He's a great action star and he's a badass. And he just looks like he could beat the shit out of everything.
Well, he is kind of in everything. I have another
and
movie.
And he's like in his mid-50s and I've never been in that good in shape. So there's definitely an attraction.
Okay, well, critics have this at 52%, and you kind of sound like you like it. So, on Rotten Tomatoes, anyway.
Oh, slow down. All right, so here's what
where do you think the hate comes from?
I don't think it's hate. I think people just think it's a good rental.
Okay.
Which is about what it is. Like, if it was in the big screen, I would be a little more down on it. But it's a Netflix original, and, you know, it's good enough. It's a fun rental. It's fun to watch, but it's not going to stick with you. You're not going to want to watch it again. It does what it's there to do. And it's very predictable. I kind of know what was going to happen pretty quick. I guess the end, 5 minutes in.
Ew, I don't like those movies.
But
is it still fun?
Because you had Mackie and Grillo, and they were a lot of fun playing off each other. And Grillo was really a dick to him all the time. That works for me.
Now I can't decide if I'm going to watch this or The Dirt tonight.
The Dirt.
Watch the Dirt.
Yeah.
Seriously. I got to say, I was a little disappointed because I got the notification on Netflix when this one came available. Mm-hmm. And I misread it. And I thought that the Point Break remake was coming because I haven't seen that yet. And I...
This is better than that.
That's what I thought this was.
Because I just watched the original Point Break for the first time on the plane when I went to LA a little while ago. Utah, give me two.
That's the first time you saw the worst FBI agent in film history, right?
FBI agent. Oh, man. That movie is so dumb. I never understood why that movie got any love whatsoever. But yeah, I wanted to see the new one to see if it was any better. And that's what I thought this was.
This was better than that. And by the way, that movie, Point Break, not Point Blank, amazes me because he does literally everything wrong. He is the worst FBI agent. He's the worst boyfriend. He's the worst friend. He gets everybody killed or attacked or kidnapped. And at the very end, for some reason, they just let him run around free and so he can tell Bodie, hey, go ahead. Go surf. It's all good. What? It's just a stupid, stupid thing.
Weird. Okay, so if the full price of an admission were $10, what would you give?
Five. Fun rental. Fun rental.
Solid average.
Yeah, it's an average. It's an okay movie. Is it a theater? It might be a little lower because I wouldn't tell people to go spend $10 for this.
Would you refer to it as aggressively average?
With Grillo in it, yeah. Yeah, definitely aggressively average. Yep. Now we're going to move on to Veronica Mars. Not season one or season two or season three or the movie. The brand new Hulu revival. Amanda has seen the entire 8-episode season, correct?
Yep, I sure have.
All right, so we got some questions for you.
Oh, boy.
When we last saw Veronica, she brought down Jessica Jones and her dad, Keith, was involved in a pretty serious car accident. It's been 5 years. Does the new series pick up after these events? And what's the mystery this season? From what I understand, it's a bomber.
Yeah, so it does pick up 5 years. It's pretty much like they've lived their last 5 years. Things have progressed and we're kind of catching up with them after the events of the movie. There's a little bit that's taken from the books. Some people actually questioned if this was a story from Mr. Kiss and Tell, but they just derived.
Is that the name of a book?
Mm-hmm, from Rob Thomas.
Please, I realize you're a professional with Veronica Mars, but...
I just said the book and the book name.
I know, but then you're like, Mr. Kiss and Tell. I don't know what that is. let's speak for the layman's here.
Rob Thomas has also created a couple of books, right. And there are a couple of pieces that are in the show that are mostly there just for like the nostalgic factor. For fans who have read the books. But this story is following a bombing that's occurred at the Neptune Sea Sprite Motel. And it's taken the lives of four. And when one of the family's injured family members, they're the victim, their family decides to hire Mars Investigations, Veronica and her father, to take on the case and figure out who it is that planted that bomb. And there's a lot that goes into this season. It's really heavy. It's a lot more adult. This is not the only mystery that we're looking at through the season, but we also don't have any mini mysteries like we used to.
Episode-contained mysteries.
Yeah, there's the episodic ones aren't there, which is kind of a bummer. I was a little bit let down by that.
So let me ask you a question. The show is now on Hulu. which means it can be more adult, and you just refer to it as it is more adult. How so? Do they push any boundaries? Do you feel like they're swearing just for the sake of swearing? Or, like, how is it more adult?
Well, there's a little bit more sex, but they're not gratuitous with it. They just happen to have some more sultry scenes that occur in this season. There's definitely a lot more violence, and the brutality of the violence was much more visual than I expected, for sure. And they do have an allotment of swearing because Hulu gave them those privileges. In the first episode, I really felt as soon as it started that we were just being heavy-handed, like they were swearing just to swear. But it really eased up after the first episode where it wasn't all the time because they did a really smart thing. And Rob Thomas has talked about this in interviews. They still weren't allowed to use the F-bomb, so you don't have that explicit nature. But the way they worked around it is basically Veronica and Keith have a bet of who can go the longest without dropping an F-bomb. So they have all of these clever ways of getting funny. Around it. And it creates for a really fun Mars bar moment between the two characters.
Mars bar is a thing from your podcast. So nobody knows what
well,
that is.
Well, it is. Okay. So a really sweet moment between the two Mars.
Okay. we don't need a book report here. All right. So you've watched all 8 episodes. So I've got 2 questions on that specifically. Okay. Number one, does it feel like the show is maturing along with the character?
Just Veronica specifically, or
is the show maturing along with the character? Like, does the show seem like it's completely different from the CW UPN show and the movie? Is it like growing up?
It is growing up.
So it feels like a modern show. It doesn't feel like it's...
It's definitely modernized, but it still has the core personality traits of the people that we've come to know. But they have to learn how to cope and deal with those prior personality traits that we've seen in them, and they have to improve too. And some of the characters have a really great arc, and I don't want to tell you whose those are. And others, you're like, they're very sedentary, like where they're not, you don't really feel like they're progressing at first. And then by the end, you're like, wow, that was a huge change. So a lot of them, they are still, some of them have already grown in that 5-year period that we haven't seen between the movie and this new season. And others we watch grow as this season goes on. But it is definitely more adult, and they are growing.
This is obviously Kristen Bell's passion. So when you're talking about the maturation of the show, does it feel like she is really just like is this her best performance as Veronica Mars?
It's hard to beat her first season and the first season in general, because to me, that is one of the best seasons in television history. The way the storytelling unfolded.
That mystery worked out.
That mystery was fantastic. All of the details. If you're used to that Veronica Mars where you get from Rob Thomas in terms of storytelling, where you get a lot from it in each episode, this is no different. You are slam-packed. This is very noir in the sense of how the story is told. And you having to figure out this mystery, but it's not noir like the show used to be in terms of the cinematography. Mm-hmm. But Belle is, I would say, personally, I'd probably put this underneath season one. So it's very, it's really reaching up there towards season
better than
one.
The movie, better than
better season, than the okay. movie, better than season three, even better than season two. They just had a lot more in it that really evolved. And I feel like there was still so much that they could have done if they would have had more time. But I still felt like I got a lot out of it. And Kristen Bell, all of the cast members put on an incredible performance. I mean, you have J.K. Simmons, Clifton Collins Jr. Like, you have some great names in here, and they don't disappoint either.
Now, this is the other question, the main question that I had. Can somebody who has never, ever, ever watched an episode or a movie or doesn't even know who Veronica Mars is outside of this show, could they drop in and understand what's going on? Could they follow it?
Actually, yes. They did a really great job with making sure when you saw a character, if you needed a recap, they gave you a recap or an introduction if you're a new person. So it was really subtle where they would make it into a joke of, hey, here's the information that you need to know about this person. Like, oh, hey, you're a murderer. Well, now we know you're a murderer. If you're somebody who doesn't like to, if you think you might go back and rewatch the show, and you don't want to know what happened in those seasons, you probably don't want to watch this yet because you are going to get details that occurred in the prior seasons and in the movie. But that also helps you understand the
season.
But
if you don't care, you don't want to go back,
if you don't
you're
care,
fine. You're still
you're
fine.
Totally fine. You can understand it.
That's what I wanted to know. All right. So as a whole, if $10 is the full price of admission, what do you rate this season of Veronica Mars?
9 out of 10.
Now, if you take the fan goggles off, what do you rate this season of Veronica Mars?
50 out of 10.
Okay. All right. So that's what
just half a point is all?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She didn't have her goggles on too tight, apparently. Yeah. That's what it was. Oh. last question. Do you want more?
Oh, my God, yes.
It closes the way I understand it. It does have a closure, but you want more?
Yes. They do a really great job making sure that they conclude this season, but they leave you with some like little strings of, hey, we're working on hopefully getting a fifth season. Belle has already cleared her schedule for next year for a few months for her to
NBC cleared it for.
Well, that too. A good place is gone. Yeah. But yeah, she has the time next year where she can record it if they give them another season.
All right. Thank you. That's Veronica Mars. Last review is Crawl, which I saw. But Scott, you get to lead this one.
All right. I'm very intrigued to hear this one, but I'm going to give you the recap really quick. A young woman, while attempting to save her father during a Category 5 hurricane, finds herself trapped in a flooding house and must fight for her life against alligators. Now, Aaron, when I see a movie title like this and a poster like this and a trailer like this, my mind immediately goes to things like Sharknado and other B movies.
Mine too, dude. Walking in, mine too.
I mean, you know, like rats and spiders and like all these movies that just have it. And they cleverly did not just call this movie Gators, but and this is a theatrical release, not a straight to video film. So where does this rank in terms of is it super cheesy or are we looking at a pretty serious gator movie?
OK, I walked into the movie only because I actually didn't want to see it. I wanted to see Stuber. But I'd heard so many good things about the movie. So many good things. Critics loved it. Everybody was talking about it. I'm like, really? It looks good, but really cheesy. It's not. They actually do a pretty good job of explaining why somebody would be in the middle of a hurricane. Okay. Because basically this character is going back to save her dad, and her dad's trapped underneath a house because he was working under a house, and a gator got him. You know, underneath the house while he was working on it. And she has to get him out. And she doesn't know that there's gators there until she's down there. And then it's very taut. It's very tightly paced. It's very exciting. It's a complete opposite of what I thought it would be. I really did think it would be in the Sharknado vein. I thought they would be playing it for, you know, a lot of cheap laughs and that sort of thing. And even though some of it is ridiculous, like it's amazing to me how some characters can get bit in their hand and feet and not lose ligaments in you know, parts of their body, but other people get bit and their whole face comes off. I mean, apparently the gators are very specific about who they want to kill or who they want to maim, and that's the part that was pretty funny. But
also, so it's Jaws the Revenge?
No, because that scene, it's stupid. It wasn't that bad. Nobody goes to Jamaica,
run away from the sharks on the land.
Right. I mean, because let's be honest, in that movie, all they would have had to do is get out of the water and everybody's safe. This is very much, they're both, her and her dad are trapped under the house and they're trying to get out of the house. So most of the movie is them stuck in underneath this house because the water is rising and they're trying to get out of it. And their only hope for escape is like looters and things like that. And then there's the local police trying to get people out because of the hurricane. So there are other characters, but it's primarily this woman and her dad underneath the house trying to escape while these gators just come out of everywhere and try to just kill them.
Is there any like explanation as to why the gators are surrounding this particular house?
Yes.
Or after them? Uh-huh. It's not like they're just random alligators that are there because of the hurricane. There's more to it than that.
No, they explain it, and I don't want to... I mean, it's not really a spoiler, but I also... It's part of how the movie ties up at the end, so I don't want to explain that.
Okay.
I don't want to explain that. But yeah, it works.
I noticed that Barry Pepper was in this one. I feel like I haven't seen him in anything in quite a while. How was his performance?
Barry Pepper was the dad, and he was very, like, the performances were really strong. It's almost like they didn't realize they were in a cheesy gator movie. Like, they're very good. They come across as a father and daughter, and there are consequences to even main characters. Like, nobody gets off lightly. The gators are, I mean, other than they let some people keep hands and feet and other people don't. But outside of that, I mean, everybody gets a little bite, a little nick.
All right. It sounds like you like this a lot better than I was expecting. yeah. One last question before we get to your final verdict. My wife absolutely hates alligators. When we were in Florida visiting, she was scared to death of running into an alligator. Is there any chance I can take her to see this movie, or is she just gonna? Is it lots of gore? Is it lots of creepy alligator stuff?
It's not gory, but I mean, it's about alligators, so they're everywhere. I would guess probably not. Yeah, be my guess. I mean, unless you don't like her. I mean, it's up to you.
Hey, honey, we're gonna go see. We're gonna go see Toy Story again. Don't worry, Woody's coming.
Oh, I would love to watch this movie with like Woody and Buzz caught in the middle of this house, and they're like, "How are we gonna get out of here?" that would be great.
Kind of amazing.
I kind of want to watch that movie now. Make the crossover of the year, Crawl Story.
$10 for the full price of admission. What would you give Crawl?
We go at $6. I thoroughly. It's a fun creature feature.
All right.
And it's kind of ridiculous how the hurricane works, but that's beside the point. All movies with hurricanes are kind of ridiculous. People you can't just walk down the street and then the next minute you're walking back and cars are whipping by. Like, science. But that's how it works.
They walked into the eye of the tornado or the hurricane and they walked out of the eye and then it got windy again.
Exactly. Exactly. Don't go left. Don't go left. That's where the eye stops. Stop. All right. We've got some new releases. We're going to be really quick with this. The Lion King comes out on July 19th. That's what everybody's going to go see. It's the same damn movie you already saw. There you go. Lion King. Hakuna Matata. All that jive.
I saw a clip of it. It literally shot for shot. Even the direction that they took.
Critics are saying it's shot for shot. And
wow. I thought they were exaggerating. Now, granted, that was only one clip, but it was one of the most significant scenes, and it was the exact
even
same
James
scene.
Earl Jones is back. I mean, that's just, it's weird to me.
Yeah.
But I really look forward to seeing what they did with it.
I'm still going to see it. I'm a little nervous. I actually saw a side-by-side comparison of the Hakuna Matata song. And when you see the facial expressions in the animated version, the old one from the 90s, versus the real life animals, it's making me nervous, man, because they have no expression whatsoever.
I've heard that a lot too.
Can I just point out they're not real life animals, Scott? They're CGI.
I understand that. I'm not that reviewer that blasted it because they couldn't get the animals to smile.
Some critic thought they were real. You're dumb. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it's true. You didn't hear this?
Oh no.
Yeah, as a critic who thought they were real animals.
Well, yeah. Do they still have a job?
Well, they shouldn't, but they probably do. Yeah.
He owned up to it at least.
Oh, but, that's good.
Yeah. We've got a video on demand movie coming out on the 19th called Sword of Trust. This one is about Cynthia and Mary, who show up to collect Cynthia's inheritance from her deceased grandfather. But the only item she receives is an antique sword that was believed by her grandfather to be proof that the South won the Civil War. This one stars Mark Maron.
Another video on demand release is Into the Ashes, also the 19th. Nick is an ex-con who's adjusting to a new job, a new wife, and some semblance of normalcy in rural Alabama. When vengeful former associates track him down, he's soon forced back into the desperate and violent life that he thought he left behind. This is another Frank Grillo movie.
Yeah, Grillo. Why do you think he's on the format?
Yeah, right.
Every time Grillo could literally be doing a Head and Shoulders commercial, and I'd put it on this format. I swear I would.
Head and Shoulders. Why not Pert Plus?
And he kicked the shit out of whoever was using the off-brand
Dove.
Yeah,
this side tingles.
I don't know what that means, but I got.
Why is it tingling?
Aroused.
You don't remember those commercials of Head and Shoulders? They would use like regular shampoo on one side and Head and Shoulders on the other.
Oh
and
yeah,
I can feel this one working.
And I don't know if chemicals making your head burn is really the best sales pitch, but good on them.
This head is on fire.
Oh, my goodness. The last one is a Netflix show. It is Knights of the Zodiac Season 1. In this animated Netflix series, Seiya and the Knights of the Zodiac rise again to protect the reincarnation of the goddess Athena, but a dark prophecy hangs over them all. And when I say animated, on the surface, this looks very much like a anime, like Japanese animation, but they've actually got some money behind it. It looks more like those Star Wars Rebels cartoons in terms of the animation style.
Yeah, it looks good. Looks good.
It looks pretty good. So,
all right, everybody, what's your pick of the week? What movie are you going to see out of all those?
Come on.
Come on, son. Come on, son. Lion King, right?
Obviously Lion King, yeah.
Amanda?
Avs Lion King, but I do want to see Into the Ashes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's got Frank Grillo in it? All right. You going to watch Point Blank?
Maybe.
It's a fun movie.
I told you, I'm just deciding between that and The Dirt for tonight. Choices.
I really want you to report back after the first 10 minutes of The Dirt.
So just watch the first 10 minutes and then come back to another day.
See, here's the problem. you tend to be, and this is a good thing. You're very proud of your gender and you demand that women are respected.
That's you can not disrespect us sometimes. Sometimes we
movie.
Like it.
That's not a movie. That's probably the wrong message. But, you know, whatever. This is definitely not a movie for that kind of thing. It's Motley Crue. They're not very, it's not, they probably caused Me Too, is what I'm saying. My God. It's that kind of.
Like they're slapping people?
But you get to see Ramsay Bolton in something else other than Game of Thrones.
What?
Yeah,
yeah. The guy that plays Ramsay is one of the band members.
Oh, weird.
He's
I don't know. Now I'm intrigued, you guys. I'm at least going to watch the first 15 minutes.
He's a it's a fun movie.
At least.
We spent half this podcast talking about the dirt. Yeah. That's awesome.
Also, did you see Rockford, Illinois was in the closing credits, by the way?
Nuh-uh.
For the dirt?
Yeah, because they showed like the different places that they toured or whatever, and Rockford, Illinois is like right there in the center of the screen.
Did they do something with Cheap Trick that I didn't know
our
about?
No, they didn't go near Cheap Trick. Rockford's our hometown, in case you didn't know.
No, they played at the Metro Center back in the
80s. Oh, when it was important. Sure.
Wow.
Sorry.
Wow. Way to rip on the hometown. All right. Let's go to our From the Outside In topic. Drive-in theaters. We are talking about drive-in theaters. I'm going to give you a quick little history lesson. A partial drive-in theater, the Tierra de Guadalupe, was opened in Las Cruces, New Mexico on April 23rd, 1915, before closing in 1916. And then in 1921, a drive-in was opened by Claude V. Cavier in Comanche, Texas. Or Caver, probably is the better way to say it. Or Caver. I've heard it always. He obtained a permit from the city to project films downtown. The drive-in theater was actually patented in Camden, New Jersey, though, by chemical company magnate Richard Hollingshead Jr. In 1932, Hollingshead conducted outdoor theater tests in his driveway. After nailing a screen to trees in his backyard, he set a 1928 Kodak projector on the hood of his car and put a radio behind the screen, testing different sound levels with his car windows down and up. Blocks under vehicles in the driveway enabled him to determine the size and spacing of ramps so all automobiles could have a clear view of the screen, and he received a patent of his invention on May 16, 1933. Now, if you don't know much about drive-ins, their popularity kind of peaked in the late 50s and early 60s, particularly in rural areas because people, you know, they needed to go see a movie, but they couldn't get a sitter, so they wanted to go there with their kids, and that was an advantage for them. You could take your children to the movie, and a lot of youth could, you know, hook up, maybe make some more babies of their own. You know, and at the time, late 50s, early 60s, in that time frame, there were 4,000-plus drive-ins spread across the United States.
Dang.
Yeah. Now, there's less than 400.
Oh, and my favorite one just closed that's near us.
See? I mean, this is crazy. But a large reason for why they aren't around anymore, besides the, you know, technology revolution, is revenue is more limited than regular theaters because they can only show movies at night, obviously. One of the largest drive-ins, this is a quick fact, and then we'll get into our topic. One of the largest drive-in theaters was the Johnny All-Weather Drive-In in New York. Covering over 29 acres, it could park 2,500 vehicles. It had a full-service restaurant with seating on the roof and a trolley system to take children and adults to a playground and a large indoor theater for bad weather and people who wanted to watch in air-conditioned comfort.
That is the coolest theater ever.
It's gone.
Well, it was the coolest theater ever.
Yeah. Psht, gone. Okay, so that's kind of a quick history lesson as we talk about drive-ins. For those who have never been, Scott, what is the appeal of a drive-in?
Well, there's lots of things. I actually wanted to rip a comment from Peter Dennis in the Facebook group. He said, we still have a couple of drive-ins here, and it was fun taking the kids, and they were great fun when I was a teenager. The novelty of watching a theater outside on a screen that feels larger than life. I agree with, actually, part of that was my comment, not his, but he had fun when he was a teenager, and he put a winky face on there. So I think he was alluding to what you mentioned a second ago about drive-ins. But I think that novelty that I mentioned when I blatantly read my comment as his own, it just, you know, we grew up watching movies at home or watching movies at the theater, and there's something freeing about being able to see it on this giant screen out in the middle of nowhere. Plus, summer is my favorite season. I know all you people that like it cold can whatever. I love it, the heat. Mm-hmm. So going to the drive-in reminds me of summer memories and doing things outside and some of the fun memories I had going to the drive-in theater. And to me, movies in the theater and at home aren't as much of a social activity as other things that you do. Like you go out to eat, you go to a restaurant, you know, you're talking. But if you go to a theater, everybody's got to be quiet, mm-hmm. you know, because we're respectful. And I feel like when you go to a drive-in, it's a little bit more loose because it's not, you're not paying in a super high expensive ticket. You're not getting the best sound and picture quality. So people are a little bit more loose and you can kind of say something to your neighbor without getting a shh from somebody down the row. And I like the social aspect of a movie. And that's really cool.
As long as you're not that dick with the headlights. There's always that guy who comes in, you know, the second movie, 20 minutes late. In, and he's like, oh, let me put my headlights on full blast because, you know, I'm not smart enough to use my...
Never mind. Or to show up on time.
Yeah, or to be on time. Why would you want to do that? Crazy.
And also, in my experience, the snacks at drive-in movie theaters are far more affordable than they are at... So I can actually buy popcorn and not have to take out a second mortgage.
That's fair.
And some places even actually let you bring some of your own stuff too. So,
well, they used to all do that. Nowadays, there are some, and I get they don't make as much money as they used to. So they kind of have to say, you have to buy our snacks to come here. People aren't doing it. I hate to break it to you. They're still sneaking stuff in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean,
it's not like they're doing searches like at the border.
Sex and snacks.
Wow.
Not necessarily in that order. So why do you...
Or maybe together. Who knows? No, it is a lot. Snacks.
Ew, don't dip that on my Twizzlers or my Red Vines.
Wait a second. Red Vines are disgusting. We need to get this off the table.
Anyway. Why do you like it?
Because Scott went over a lot of it, but it really is, to me, it reminds me of a little bit of my childhood. Not that I'm that old, but when I was younger, this was like a family thing. A
couple weeks ago.
Yeah, right. But then I also think about how awesome it is that you do get to bring in whatever you want. Like, that's also a social aspect to it. Like, you go with the people that you're going with, and you guys pick out which snacks you want to have, and you just basically go grocery shopping for this trip. And for us, now at this point, the theaters that are closest to us, the drive-in theaters that are closest to us as adults here, and we're all in the same area, is like an hour plus away.
Which makes it a haul.
Yeah. Like, so now it's like another, it's like a mini road trip.
Right.
Which kind of makes it a little bit
fun too.
Not a mini,
it is a road trip. I mean, it's 2 hours there and back.
Well, I drive 40 minutes to work, so that's not really that much of a road trip to me. But for a lot of people, that is like a long haul for you to take a trip to.
At my age at 1 a.m. coming back 45 minutes or an hour, that's a haul. That's a road trip.
Well, and that's the other thing. You get two movies for the price of one, plus they usually have carpool deals. Like, it's just...
Or you sneak people in the back. Not that I would advocate that, but it's possible.
Yeah, hide in the trunk, Billy. Come on.
Especially if you don't like Billy. Billy, you're not even supposed to be here. Get in the trunk. We didn't want you to come. We didn't invite you.
There's just so much freedom with it. There's so much freedom. You can be inside the car. You can be outside the car. You can grab a blanket. You can get rid of the blanket. You can have this snack or that snack or this snack or this treat. Or if you want to get concessions because you're like, I want a corn dog right now, man. Go get a corn dog then. Like, you just have so much ability. Plus, the commercials are great. Oh, my God. We talked about the hot dog and the bun, and it's super sexual, and it's amazing.
If you've never seen it, it's amazing.
I have a video I should post in the thread of our
I'm
driving
sure it's on
thing.
YouTube. I'm
or
sure
that. On, yeah, I'll find it yeah. on YouTube.
Just search for porn dog.
Don't search that.
No, don't do that.
Scott's like, I have experience with
Scott's
that search.
Like,
don't do
I
it.
I know exactly how that ends up. Bad for you if you're on your mom's computer.
Wow.
See, I'm just, to me, it's a fun way to go to the movies because when I go to a theater where you're sitting inside, I want everybody to follow the damn rules.
Uh-huh.
Like, kind of like Scott was saying, you know, shut up. Put your phone away and watch the movie. Shh. Drive-in is a different experience. It's more of a social experience. It's more of a, you know, let's all, we can get two movies with one price and we have to sacrifice a little bit of that quiet and a little bit of that, you know, that security of being able to hear everything because you can't always, because the speakers aren't as good. You might have to listen to your own car speakers, which isn't always great. But it's a much more of a social experience seeing a movie because now, I mean, you go to a movie and I love going to movies, but the people you go with, you don't talk to them much. 5 minutes before the movie, 10 minutes after the movie, and that's it, right? You go to a drive-in, you can talk the whole 2 or 3 hours, 4 hours, whatever it is, and you don't feel like you're being a jerk because you're all there kind of doing the same experience. You're kind of into the movie. I remember we had a Hollywood Outsider outing.
Yes.
And it wasn't the Meg? It was the Meg, right?
The Meg was one of
them. That was fantastic to watch at a drive-in because it's so ridiculous.
The one after it was that Mark Wahlberg movie, Mile 22, which was not good.
We're not talking about the quality of the films. We're talking about the experience here.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And, great experience. And watching the Meg with a group of people was a lot of fun. And that's what outdoors should be. Being under the stars, being outside. It's just a different way to watch a movie. If they were closer, I would love it more. But, you know, road trip.
I feel like every time I've ever gone to a drive-in theater, I had to drive a long way to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for the people that live close, the novelty factor kind of wears off mm-hmm. after you go there like 5-6 times in the summer. So you're not apt to go as often. But, yeah, I miss them.
All right. So give us some of your favorite drive-in theater memories.
Well, that Ho one was pretty fun.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was fun. Getting to see, we even had somebody
I think
who
we've done that twice. By the way. I think we've done mm-hmm. it once before.
Because I went once with Transformers
yeah.
with you guys.
Yep, yeah. Yeah, we did. That one was a few years prior, too. But that one was a lot of fun as well.
We call it BA before Amanda.
I like that you're correlating me to Jesus. I think that's a compliment.
That would be BC.
That's BC.
I know, but it's the comparison.
That's
like
before
BC, BA.
Jesus, I think. All right, your memories. Go ahead.
Well, the Ho ones are a lot of fun, but like I said, I remember when I was younger and it used to be like a family trip. And so I used to do that a lot. I even went with friends, like my friend Courtney. I don't see her very much now because she moved out to Arizona, but she and I used to go take our little trips and go see the movie together. So it was just something that like it was an experience where I could show somebody a different way to watch movies. And for me, I didn't grow up with them. My generation didn't grow up with them because they already started to minimize by the time mm-hmm. we started to get to the age where we could drive ourselves to go see a movie at the drive-in. Because I'm, spoiler alert, I'm 26 years old. So a lot of my friends are in the 26 to 34-ish range. And so most of us didn't have that as much. So it was something where we could try something new. And it was, like I said before, a little mini road trip. It was something fun to do with friends. And it was, I don't know, it was a way for you to just do something different with a cinema experience that you couldn't get from a movie theater. Not to say that I don't love movie theaters, because I do, but this is just different. And it's the only time I've been cool with Bugs being around.
Okay.
All right.
I broke my mom's driver's side window at the drive-in.
What?
We're supposed to be talking specific examples. You're just not like the
previous
stuff.
What? My friend Courtney.
I got you.
Yeah,
all right.
The hose.
Yeah, I was there on a date. And I put I put the speaker in the window, and then I had to move.
Oh,
my mom's new car, by the way. It's a brand new car.
So you pulled out with the thing still attached to the window?
Yeah, and it basically all you heard was chink, and then dropped into the panel.
Did that drive home suck?
Nope, just getting home and having to go and face my mom sucked. I stayed for the movies because I'm like, well, I'm not gonna get in any less trouble by leaving now, so I'll just handle it when I get home.
Did you get a little something?
No.
Oh, wow. That's disappointing.
Well, I think at that point, she's like, what an idiot. Which I wouldn't blame her.
I think we have different understandings of what a little something means.
I think it's nookie, right?
Yeah, that's right.
He did it all for the cookie.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, my God. Did you just really make a Limp Bizkit reference?
I think so. And getting off that topic, my mom took me to see Friday the 13th at the drive-in on my birthday. I was a little kid, and I kept telling everyone it was my birthday because it was Friday the 13th. And my birthday was Friday the 13th. So I was running around to everybody who's in the car trying to watch Scary Jason Voorhees movie. It's my birthday. It's Friday the 13th. It's my birthday for Friday. Yeah. So
I would have punted you as a child into the woods.
My mom wanted to, but she said it was
How
so.
How old were you?
I was, I think, 7-ish.
Man. That's one of those stories where I wish that video cameras were or cell phone cameras were a thing back when Aaron was a kid, because to have that footage now would be absolutely glorious. Yeah, it's my birthday. It's Friday the 13th.
Why does he say
my popcorn?
Yeah.
7 years
Spot
old.
Odd impression. You know, the sad part is my mom would probably be considered, like, they call DCFS nowadays. I mean, everybody's.
Because you were so young. Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably.
I was super young. And but see, my mom was very clear about horror movies and stuff. Like, she explained, she showed me how practical effects worked and everything else. So none of that stuff really fazed me because I knew it was all fake. But yeah, I
gotcha.
Probably shouldn't have taken a 7 year old to see a Friday the 13th movie. But it was great. I had a great time. I've got two more that I think are pretty funny, but Scott, you got any specific memories?
Well, I have a real quick general one before my specific one. You mentioned that one giant theater that had the playground at the front.
Yeah.
To me, that was always a very cool thing when you were a kid, because when you're a kid and you have any kind of gathering where there are other kids that you've never met before, it's an awesome thing.
True.
So before the movie starts and in between the two movies, and maybe even a little bit after, it was so much fun to go to that playground and just meet other kids and play some kind of game. And then as soon as the movie starts up, just running back to the car and watching the movie and then, you know, meeting up with them again afterwards and making friends. I love that. But as far as a specific memory, I remember driving down to a drive-in theater south of where we are now. I cannot remember which one, but it was directly south. And I went to see Armageddon. That's how long ago this was. Man, 21 years ago, oh, I think that was.
That's a Russian space station.
Yeah. But this is the second time I had seen it. But the girl I was with, her name was Latasha. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just the two of us. It was a group of us. But we weren't like dating. We were just really close friends. Like we were like considering maybe dating. But
so you guys were talking.
Really... Yeah, yeah.
And Scott was talking and she wasn't listening.
So I just remember vividly watching that movie. We had sleeping bags just laying on the ground on our stomachs with our heads up, facing the screen, watching this movie, you know, because it gets cold.
It can.
Even in the summer, it can get chilly. And it was just great being there wrapped up in a sleeping bag watching this thing. And I'll never forget when the ending scene when Ben Affleck's character or Bruce Willis's character sacrifices himself so that Ben Affleck can go take care of his daughter. I look over and Tasha is just bawling. I mean, she's just like sobbing and crying. She's just so like moved by this scene. And I, you know, just did the friend thing and comforted her, kind of put my arm around her. But it wasn't even like a romantic thing. It was just a very good memory of being at the theater. And I'll never forget it.
You know, I don't want to ruin, you know, because you're married and you're happy and everything else. But you just missed a moment right there, boy. You could have just moved in, made a move and... You'd be true love forever right there.
No, that's my it couldn't because I tried several months later and it never happened.
It's because you missed that window, man. Once you miss the window.
She's like, too late.
Yeah.
You had your chance.
The whole house is a safe room then. Yeah. Sorry, buddy.
Well, I mean, we were around all our church friends, so it would have been a little bit more difficult.
Well, praise Jesus. Let's see if we can make some magic happen. That's what I was at. Hallelujah. Yeah. Okay, here's my last memory. This is a true story. We had a theater that played a drive-in theater that played porn. Yeah.
In Rockford?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, I did hear about this.
It was a drive-in theater, played porn, and which, of course, adults only, no kids allowed.
Did you have a season pass?
No, I was a kid. But we knew how to sneak into the field. Mm-hmm. So we would, like, several of us would sneak into this field and watch it without sound. And we would, at random points, basically just give commentary to what everybody was saying and doing. At the time.
Like your own little riff tracks of porn?
Yeah, basically, that's exactly what it was. So we would be really like, oh, hello, I have the pizza. You know what I mean? Just, we just started doing random stuff. Probably a teenager.
Are those the noises you make mid-coitus?
Yeah.
You should know, Scott.
Yeah. Wait, why? I don't want to know why Scott would know. But yeah, I mean, you just come up with like random things and you're just trying to be funny while secretly be like, hey, I saw boobies. You know, so it's a pretty young kid thing to do, but it was a lot of fun.
You know, Amanda mentioned the theater that closed down not far from us. And I will never forget going to that theater with you guys. And there's like a feud going on between that drive-in movie theater and like the gas station.
Yeah.
No, it's a little restaurant, like a fast food place.
Because that restaurant wanted to keep their lights on when the movie was being shown. And they would, when you pulled into the drive-in, the theater would actually give you like a flyer that said, please do not go to this restaurant. They refuse to turn their lights off after a certain amount of time, blah, blah, blah. And I'm convinced that that's a big reason why that place is shut down because of whatever was going on between those two businesses.
It has to do with the land.
Yeah, it's the land, but that was pretty funny. They're like, no food from that place allowed. Like, whoa, easy killer. I get it.
They had it on their main marquee sign. Like, they would put the movies and they would put, like, don't no food not allowed from, and I know the restaurant name, but I won't say it. And... It always cracked me up.
You know, there's another drive-in where there's like a funny problem is, and I think it's Monroe, Wisconsin.
Yeah, there is one in Monroe,
Skyview,
Wisconsin.
Skyview or something like that. You would go there, and which is great. They actually had really good food, and they had good pizza. And you would order a pizza, and they call the pizza orders during the movies. You're like, pizza 14, pizza 14. And you're like, wait, I'm trying to watch Armageddon or whatever you're trying to watch. And like, I'm trying to, greatest deep core driller in the world is trying to say goodbye, and you're like, number 14, the pizza's ready. Like, what the hell?
That's the same one that doesn't let you bring in snacks, right?
Right.
Because I don't like that one.
You can't bring in anything, but we're also going to ruin your movie the whole time you're here. That's one that I do not go back to simply for that.
Oh my God. I do remember at least one instance where I accidentally, either like somebody sat on a chocolate bar or it just melted in the car. When we sat outside, Scott's like, was it your car, Scott?
No,
I'm just that just sounds like an excuse.
Oh.
I'm saying somebody had the Hershey squirts and blended on a chocolate bar.
Ew, that's gross. No, it was an actual candy bar.
That's true.
And it melted, and I was a child, and I was not an angel, seen as an angel in my parents' eyes that night.
So you limped home.
I think I may have gotten hit by a car. I'm not sure.
Start bouncing you into traffic.
Thanks for the car. What happened.
Yeah. That's why you got a pimp walk now. Ow! You mean the traffic? That's funny. All right. So here's the big question. Do you feel like the drive-in experience is still strong, or is it one of those novelties, like a lot of things in life, that time has passed?
I think it's done. I think as sad as it is, and I like the experience, I don't see a market for it, especially without really high concession prices or higher ticket prices, because it's only a seasonal thing. It's hard to sustain a business that is only seasonal, number one, because what else are you going to do with that land for the other 9 months of the year if you live in the Midwest like we do?
Right.
I mean, there's nothing you can do. I wish it were still a thing, but I just don't see it, because there's so many easier ways to watch. And I'm not saying the theater experience is dead. It's far from it. But they're already in talks of, like, how are we going to keep people coming to the regular theater with things like video on demand and Netflix and all this going on? Convincing people to pack up their car with blankets and a picnic and all this good stuff to go see a 4 hours of movie at one time, I think, is a taller order. I see it going by the wayside.
I don't know, man. There's a lot of poor people that could really use. No, for real. The ticket prices at movie theaters are crazy for them to take a whole family. So like a below average income family that wants to go take their family to have like a fun experience, this would be really great for them. But the marketing for these places was just, they were used to not ever having to do the type of marketing in the modern day. So I think if they had a good way to do it, and if they did things like a Netflix or Hulu night or something like that, where they watched like TV shows on a weekly basis, even if they did like Handmaid's Tale on, week to week or something, if they were to expand beyond just the two movies on the weekends, there's a possibility that they could do more with it. Like, I don't think that this is something that people wouldn't have an interest in nowadays.
But they need to adjust.
They do need to adjust. You can't keep it to the same thing it was back in the 70s and the 80s. You have to make something more with it. So while I say that, I also say it's something to me that I wouldn't want to do every weekend.
No.
It's more like a special occasion thing, but it's really sad that now a part of my childhood, a part of my life, and even into adulthood, that piece is now gone because our drive-in movie is gone. It's really sad.
Yeah, I really still like going. I like to go like once a year. But if you do the math, like everybody does that, that's really not going to keep a business open.
Right.
Mm-mm.
And a lot of people don't realize that drive-in theaters were hit particularly hard a few years ago because the movement into digital projections means they all had to upgrade their projection systems to digital, which is like a $70,000 investment per one. And they're not making a ton. Like a lot of them were family owned operations that have been going on for decades. So that was a huge expense, which is why a lot of other drive-ins closed. So it's just not the moneymaker that it needs to be, to sustain itself. So I do think it's more of a novelty, but I still enjoy it. I still make it a point to go at least once a year. You know, it's just really hard. I mean, it's hard to see how they're going to sustain it if people aren't going regularly.
We should also
Live far away. So people that live closer may go more often.
Right. But we should also point out, not every movie is one you want to see at the drive-in, because some of them are so dialogue heavy that you're like, I want to watch this in a theater with good audio. Like, or those huge blockbusters that have all the rumbling and everything. You want to watch those Avengers movies in a real theater that is going to make it, like D-Box in Canada or whatever, that makes your seat
Is fun. Obviously, that's the best way to see it. But there is some fun about like just sitting down in the middle of a gravel driveway and yelling to some idiot in front of you like, yeah, check it out, Captain America. You know, and just this having those like
sounds so hillbilly connection when you put it like that.
I don't care. Having those like connecting moments with people. Yeah. And that's fun because that's like an ultimate group experience because you can't do that in a regular theater without somebody getting pissed at you, understandably. But at a drive-in, like Scott it's said earlier, weirdly, you have weaker and looser rules, so you can have a little bit more fun with it.
It's weirdly everyone seems to be more acceptable. Like, I'm more acceptable to things, to people chit-chatting or even pulling out their phone because it's not going to affect me as much.
No.
Now, if you leave your lights on in your car, I will kill you.
That feels extreme.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, I think this is admissible. So maybe we retract a little bit. I will yell at you loudly.
I will yell at you
sternly.
Loudly. I will not kill you.
I will throw my hair tie at you.
That too.
See, there you go.
Do you guys see that? Think there's anything they could do to change the formula to keep this sustaining? I mean, you mentioned the technology and the sound quality is crappy. Couldn't they incorporate some kind of app where you can get the sound through your phone and then bring your own headphones or something?
Well, I think they have. Some of them do. I mean, you can get it through the radio, and a lot of radio stations you can get digitally now. So there is that. You could do that. You could bring Bluetooth speakers.
AP is smart, though.
Yeah. I always bring...
Sell beer.
I always bring a boombox.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I literally have a boombox for. I literally just take it for the drive-in. Who uses a boombox for anything? But it's really handy at the drive-in.
But if they also partnered with local businesses who had food to sell there or stuff like that.
Food trucks.
Yeah. Food trucks. Like there's a way to make this modern where it works for people. Like
I'm going to sell boombox. I'm going to be out there like John Cusack. Just like say anything and up. And be like, ding, ding.
You're holding it up for everybody.
Exactly. Everybody, here we go. Here's the movie. It's for you. Yeah. All right, well, we asked listeners what they thought in terms of, do you love the drive-in or do you think it's a novelty whose time has passed? And 73% said they still love the drive-in. 27% feel it's a novelty whose time has passed. And some people did note, I think several people in the group noted that they didn't like the fact that it's so loose, that people are on their phone and they're talking and they're, you know, not quiet. So they don't like that, which I would say if you don't like that at all, then the drive-in is not for you.
No. Mm-mm. And also the Eden theaters are not for you either.
The what in the theaters?
Eden theaters? Food?
That's two words. That's not you.
Oh.
Did
I combine it?
Garden of Eden is what you sound
in,
like.
Eat in theater.
Man, we're really having this conversation right now.
Sorry.
And she's still going.
Trying to get better.
Yeah. We get it. Places where you would chew food. Got
right.
it. Right.
Yeah.
It.
Dine in. That's the word.
Eden was fine. It was just how you said it was wrong.
Eden.
Usa. Usa. Anything else on drive-in theater, Scott?
I think that's about it, man. I just, this is making me want to put together another group this summer to go do it because I haven't gone for 2 years now.
Oh, we usually do it like around, I mean, maybe we can put some around for Labor Day weekend.
Did you not come last year?
I didn't. I wasn't able to. I had something else going on. I went the year before. I remember I got to meet Ty Nelson from the group, and Ty and his wife, super nice guy, and obviously the Calgaros. We went. It's just fun. I miss it.
Maybe we'll see about keep an eye on the group. Maybe we can put something together for later in August or something like that.
Let's do it.
All right. Any recent film or TV recommendations we haven't previously talked about before we head out of here, Scotty? You're a guest. Anything you can think of?
I do have a couple, actually. The first one, some might call a hilariously raunchy Uncle Buck for the modern age.
Did you watch Family?
I did watch Family.
Aww.
And actually watched it today. And what a great little flick. It is. Man, she is such a jerk in this movie. Taylor Schilling plays the aunt of this little girl, Maddie. And she is a self-proclaimed a-hole. I mean, she calls herself, she's the person that says whatever's on her mind that everybody else is thinking, but then gets yelled at for saying it. And she does that throughout the entire movie. And it's great. It's a very charming movie. I laughed out loud multiple times. Highly recommend it.
Would you agree with the quote on the box that said that Uncle Buck for modern age?
I would. I was expecting expecting it to be a little raunchier. it was more a language thing than raunchy, but... Because the thing she says to, what's her name from Saturday Night Live? Her name is escaping me. Help me out.
Oh, Kate McKinnon.
McKinnon. By the way, Kate McKinnon, every time she pops up in these little cameo roles, she just cracks me up.
She's amazing.
She plays like that nosy neighbor protect the kids' mom at in the neighborhood. And, oh, she's hilarious. But yeah, it was very good. And even the little girl, Matt, or a little girl, she's a middle schooler, was entertaining. My favorite character in the whole movie, though, is that kid, Baby Joker.
He's so funny.
He cracks me up. It's like this, like the love interest for Maddie. He's just like this happy-go-lucky borderline stoner dude that's like a juggalo. I just, everything he said made me smile. It just was so, so good.
Now, did you only watch that because it was my quote on them? It's my quote, by the way, just for people.
Yeah, I watched, I never would have watched it without that recommendation. So thank you for that. I really did. I actually rented it on iTunes.
I'm surprised they don't have it. It's only DVD on Amazon. There's no Blu-ray.
It's an independent movie. So that's,
it costs more to do Blu-ray or something?
Yeah, just independent movie. It just depends on the funding.
Interesting.
Yeah, I actually tried to Redbox it, and they didn't have any Blu-rays on anywhere, and there was no DVDs near me. So apparently people are watching it. So
you should put up a link in the to the Amazon thing, because it was hard to find unless you search for, because there's so many different. If you type family movie, they think you're looking for A family movie.
Yeah.
So you should put up the link in there.
Probably should have had a more distinct title, I would guess.
Maybe. Probably. But if you type family movie Taylor Schilling.
And by the way, shout out to Adam. I won't use your last name on the podcast, but he got me the poster.
Because my quotes on the poster. He's such a sweetheart.
So shout out to him. God bless. And his wife, actually. I think one of them arranged Adam it. I believe his wife did. Rachel.
Very cool.
Good people.
Real quick, the other ones I wanted to mention, this is an older show, but my wife sat me down and had me watch The Toys That Made Us on Netflix.
Mm.
And if you have not seen that documentary series, do yourself a favor. You will sit down and watch an episode out of curiosity, and the next thing you know, you're going to blast through both seasons. It is fascinating, guys. I watched an episode on Masters of the Universe toys. And I walked away from that, my mind blown, and I felt like I missed out on the coolest toy ever from the 1980s. I just learned so much from that.
You didn't play with He-Man?
I was not allowed, man.
Oh, dude, He-Man was awesome. By the power of Grayskull!
It had the coolest toy, that Grayskull castle or whatever that would split in half. They show all that. Oh, and then Tom Kalinske, who was very heavily involved in that, was in that episode, and I interviewed him on my podcast. So it was kind of like, hey, I know that guy. That was kind of cool.
Those were like name dropping left and right on this show.
It was great. One other quick one. I started watching Mr. Iglesias on Netflix. It's very forced.
Oh.
It's canned laughter. But it's still worth it to watch it because
is that the
Gabriel
fluffy
Iglesias,
guy? Is it the fluffy? Or
yeah. Okay. It's fluffy. Okay. He the lines that he's delivering, you can tell that he's reading a scripted line, but the way that he delivers them the same way he does in a stand-up. So it's good for a laugh. I wouldn't call it a fantastic show, but he's very quippy, very witty, and he's one of those comedians that you want to be buds with, and that shines through in the show as well. So that's it on my list.
Amanda?
Well, I've got one that I recently caught called Be Natural. It's the untold story of Alice Guy Blatch. She's French. I don't know how to say her name.
But, Blatch?
Yeah, probably. But she is pretty much one of the first filmmakers in history. She was actually involved and was at the exclusive premiere for Family and Friends from the Lumiere brothers back in the 1800s.
Wow.
And she had produced, written, directed, did all of it for 1,000 movies, and was actually one of the pioneers for a lot of the filmmaking techniques that were never utilized before her. So she kind of cultivated that. And there's a lot of history there that is not talked about or taught, even in, you know, film schools, which I've gone to now 2 different schools for film, and neither of them have ever brought her name up.
Really?
And it was so crazy to see all of these famous actors and directors and just film critics who were like, I've never heard her name, or they're like, I've heard her name, but I didn't realize people didn't know about her. And there was so much history there and how much she did for minority groups and as a female filmmaker, what she did. But just her contribution to film in general, like the history that she has done. She started doing filmmaking at the age of 21, and that was like in 1894 or something.
Oh, wow.
So it was pretty incredible to see just how much they had clips of it, the way that they visualized it. They kind of had like little family tree displays so you could kind of follow along who was correlated to who and how she was involved in all of this. It was a really well-told story. And I was pretty excited to see, you know, something that wasn't told before that I had no idea about. And I think people should check that out if you're interested in the history of film.
Be Natural.
Be Natural, the untold story of Alice Guy Blache or something.
Blache.
B-L-A-C-H-E with the little line above it.
I don't know why, but when I say it as Sean Connery.
Oh, and it's narrated by Jodie Foster.
Ooh, now I'm more interested. I love Jodie Foster.
Also, I had no idea how much experience she had in speaking French. She is extremely fluent. So to hear her talking through this whole documentary was like, whoa, she's amazing.
Did she say this woman's name many times?
She says it many times, and
you
she says
think
it right.
You picked it up at some point.
but I got the Guy because the Guy is spelled like guy.
At least God's picking up what I'm laying down.
I knew exactly where you were going with that.
Yeah, she said it many times. I got the Guy.
Thank God she's so fluent and you paid so much attention to this documentary.
I did, but I don't know how to say the last part.
All right. Well, there's a movie coming out. Well, obviously Family. Scott mentioned that one. Definitely check that out. But there's a movie coming out that's finally getting a wide release or 500 theaters, like a limited wide release. And we talked about it last week, but last week it went to like only 4 or 5 theaters. Now it's actually in 500. The Art of Self-Defense, where Jesse Eisenberg is mugged and he takes up karate to regain his sense of self-esteem. It releases semi-wide, like I said, and it's up against Lion King, so it's going to make $12. But go see it if you want a really dark comedy that's funny as hell and also just wrong in so many ways. It's just, I really enjoyed that movie, and I really hope more people find it.
I can't wait to see it.
I'm glad you reminded me of that, because I remember you talking about that at South By. That was where you saw it, correct?
Yeah, yep.
And I was like, that trailer looked really intriguing. I'm going to add that one to my list for sure.
Yeah, it's coming here, so you can see it. You know, check
it'll
it
be
out.
At your theater, Scott.
Exactly.
Woo-hoo. On Thursday.
All right. Well, God, you know what? Let him make his own schedule.
No, go see it.
On Thursday, it'll be your theater. Randy Macho Man Savage, let's go.
I didn't sound like that at all.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, you sound like the Kool-Aid Man.
No, you clean that up before my dad gets home. All right, you can comment on this episode on our Facebook group or on Twitter at BuyPopcorn. Our site is thehollywoodoutsider.com. You can email us at feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. Subscribe on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever else you can listen to podcasts. And we do appreciate you sharing the show with your friends and telling everybody if you like The Hollywood Outsider. Reviews on Apple Podcasts are appreciated as well. You can find Scott at thegamingoutsider.com. That's thegamingoutsider.com.
And the Packers Fan Podcast.
I forgot. And he just joined the Packers Fan Podcast. So, Scott,
so he left us and now he's on another podcast, in case you were wondering. We're not bitter here.
It's limited.
I'm just kidding.
Hey, my spot was taken.
Oh. You two can, I'll be more than happy to put up a wrestling match and just whoever comes out. Two
His
hosts
head
walk
will
in,
knock me out.
Two hosts walk in, one host walks out. And real quick, if you're in locally, maybe Chicago, Indiana, anything like that, Scott Clark, can you tell people real quick about your event, your gaming convention that's coming up?
I'm putting together a video game convention here in Rockford. It's actually taking place in McChesney Park on September 21st. We are calling it the Rock River Valley Video Game Convention, or R2V2 for short. And we got a couple of celebrity guests coming from LA. They're voice actors in video games. We've got vendors selling games. We're going to have a bunch of classic systems and games from pretty much every console generation there for people to play. It's going to be an awesome event. And if you go to thegamingoutsider.com/R2V2, you can get details there as well as buy advanced tickets.
And the tickets aren't that expensive either, in case you're on a budget.
No. No, advanced tickets are only $7 for kids under 12, and then everybody else, it is $12.
And that's exciting about your voice actors
that
are flying in for this.
Yes, Sissy Jones, who's actually been a guest on my show, she's actually won a BAFTA award for her work in the game Firewatch, and it's going to be great. And then Courtney Taylor, also, who was in Resident Evil, by the way.
Ooh.
All right, Amanda, you can find on Smirk and Veronica's Marshmallows. In case you hadn't noticed earlier, she likes Veronica Mars. So
ooh, and we have some interviews coming up.
Oh, there you go. So if you're a big fan of the show, then definitely check that out. Veronica's Marshmallows. Me and my other podcast, Presenting Hitchcock.
You remembered it.
Presenting Hitchcock and The Blacklist Exposed.
Good evening.
I don't know if you've listened to it, but there's a spot-on impression of Alfred Hitchcock at the beginning of every episode.
Spot-on is a little bit of a stretch.
It's kind of a classic. It's like Alfred himself showed up.
Oh, my God.
I'm pretty
Does he have a Stallone accent?
Can you try
Alfred Hitchcock.
Yo. All right, remember, everybody, the next time you head to a theater, buy popcorn.
It's so bad.
It sounded like you just said grandma needs That's what it sounded like you said.
Hey, Scott just sent me a text message that said, don't forget Packers fan podcast. Good call.
I said that a while ago.
Good call. So, are you guys ready to rock?
All right.
Are you ready to rock? Were you born ready?
I was not born ready, but I've gotten ready over the years.
I have gotten myself accustomed. So you're good to go?
Yeah.
Okay.
G to G.
What?
No.
Oh, good to go.
No.
I gotcha.
No. No. Stop it.
I thought it was a copy. I guess it's not.
Don't worry. I wasn't like going to talk or anything. It's cool.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You.
Let me keep talking.
Search your thoughts. Search your inner thoughts.
I saw a meme the other day that has a picture of like a black and white picture of an old granny lady sitting on her couch. And the caption said, if you grew up and your grandma had plastic on the couch, she was a squirter.
Oh my God.